right. I'd like to talk to you guys this morning about the Detroit Lions and the if Mike can talk about the Cubs. See, Mike, he had a fixed mindset about the Cubs, and you guys who are lifelong Cubs fans, you have a fixed mindset. And that fixed mindset is that they're going to blow this. They're going to find a way to mess it up. But now that they've won the World Series, you're free to have a growth mindset and saying, hey, they're not the same Cubs that I've put up with for the last 100 years. As a Lions fan, I have a fixed mindset. They are going to find the most ridiculous possible way to lose imaginable and make it even worse than you could ever expect and have catches that are catches in the end zone that are touchdowns. But then, like, set the ball down and have them taken away, right, Mike? And he's mocking me, as if he hasn't cried about his Cubs. So this morning, we're going to be in the scriptures of Matthew 18, and I actually want to talk to us about a fixed and growth mindset. You see, I hung out with teachers last weekend, and I was learning all kinds of stuff, and they're teaching me a thing or two, and so I'll bring that in into play a little bit later in the message. But we're going to be in Matthew 18. We're going to talk about forgiveness this morning. I actually have permission from you guys to preach the same message again. After the last time I talked about forgiveness, quite a few people said, hey, you could probably preach that one again every few months. And so I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to do it all the time now. So, but forgiveness, it's something that we have to do. It's not something that is sort of something that we can just sort of dismiss from what God expects of us. The very foundation of who we are in Jesus is rooted and established totally firmly on the forgiveness that we have at the cross. Everything that makes up our identity together is rooted in this, that our past and our old selves are forgotten and that we are new people in Christ Jesus, that's who we are. And so our very foundation is that we are a forgiven people, and that's what unites us. I know that most of you are perfect and never made a mistake, right? You know, and so we come together as a band of brothers and sisters knowing that our identity is shaped and rooted in Jesus Christ alone, that it's his forgiveness that unites us. And as I think about as a Christian, there is a tension. Who here wouldn't want to be perfect, right? We all would like to be perfect, and I know I'm perfect in Wendy's eyes, but, right, you know, it's like we all make mistakes, we all sin, we have all fallen short of God's glory. But every one of us, I think, has a tension about living a perfect life. And I'm not really sure I even understand what that is, because my idea of what a perfect life might be different from somebody else's. And so as I was thinking about talking on forgiveness again, and without like sort of sounding repetitive, I wanted to kind of think about maybe from a different angle. And thinking about us as a community of people. When folks think about the Etna Green Church of Christ, or for any church for that matter, is it that the church is a community of perfect people, or is that the perception is that it's a community of forgiven people? And we might say, oh yeah, of course it's a forgiven people, but really the better judge might be to speak to people who don't belong to the church. And they might say words like, oh, they have their noses pretty high up in the air and they think they're pretty awesome. And they might have some real critical comments about Christians and how they conduct their lives. And while we might say, oh yeah, we're the forgiven people, maybe we aren't projecting that, forgiven people, and maybe we're projecting that you have to have your life together to be a part of this. And so I would just invite us to really think about our lives and what kind of community is really attractive to a lost and hurting world. You see, I think that Jesus desires for us to be a community of forgiven people, not perfect people. Do we need to strive to be holy and set apart, set aside our sins? Absolutely. Do we need to strive for a new life in Christ? 100% yes. Don't hear me wrong. But every single person in this room this week sinned against someone, hurt someone, sinned against God, and needs to seek forgiveness. Is that a truthful statement? With that understanding, I would like to just simply offer a challenge. What kind of community do we want to be? And I would hope that within our hearts this morning, we would want to pursue being a forgiving people. That we would forgive one another the same level of forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers us on the cross. Having the same level of mercy and kindness that God offers us on the cross and having that for each other. How freeing would it be if we could be a part of a church family that understands that we're not perfect, but we are forgiven? Whenever I say that, I think of my dad's store and his office, and it's a sign covering up one of the many holes. Dad, he doesn't do patchwork at the feed store. He just gets signs, like dog food signs and bird seed, and he just starts plastering it. There might be a few illegally placed signs on the floor, like we have a stop sign and a turn sign, and I got them from Aetna Green. It's no big deal, but they've been there for a long time. I'm kidding, but Dad has an old bumper sticker covering one of the many holes. It says, "Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven," and he has that just kind of hanging behind the office desk, and I always think about that, and I think that if we can just hold on to that sort of comfort of knowing, breathing a sigh of relief, that you can be a part of something and not have to be perfect. What kind of church do you want to be a part of? A forgiving church or a perfect church? One is not a reality, and the other is something that we can pursue intentionally, being a group of people that says, you know, I am forgiven in Christ, and I can forgive my friend. I can forgive someone in my church, and have the freedom and grace and mercy to do that for each other. And so this is the sort of foundation. And our text is Matthew 18. And from Matthew 18, we have a lot of images that come about. It begins with the disciples asking about who's the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus, he sort of throws that on end, and he says it's really the humility of a child. These are the greatest ones in the kingdom. And it kind of progresses forward, and we look at the temptation to sin in 18 verse 6. He says to the that we should welcome people in like a child, and we shouldn't stand in the way of it. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were fastened around your neck and you were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's really pleasant. Thank you, Jesus. Woe to the world because of stumbling blocks. Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to the one by whom the stumbling block comes. And he says, if your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or lame than to have two hands or two feet and to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the hell of fire. How does Jesus feel about sin? Like, oh, it's no problem, no big... No, like, Jesus takes the most abrasive sort of words that we can think of, and stumbling blocks and sin and temptation and all of these things, and he says, get it out of your life. And so when I think about this text and I think about forgiveness and what Jesus is trying to do, he's saying, be a forgiving community, but don't just excuse sin as if it's just something that just, it's what it is. Be such a community that can say, you know what, sin is the sin that's in your life is a stumbling block to you, and it's a stumbling block to others, and it's bringing you harm, and we have to get rid of it, we have to forgive it, we have to move forward, you have to get beyond this, and we're here with you. Jesus, he shares with his disciples the lost sheep, that there's a sheep that's gone astray. And it's this pursuit of the shepherd who goes after the one. And it's this image that comes before us of a father, of a shepherd pursuing his sheep, of one who is lost, and he goes out of his way to from the 99 to go and pursue the one and bring him back. And he says he has more joy over the one who's come back than the 99 who stayed. That there's a sheep who lost his way, and he's brought back into the fold. Jesus is presenting to us a community of reconciliation, of forgiveness, of pursuit of a new life together, rooted and established in forgiveness and love. He gives us instructions as to how we might go about someone who sinned against us or sinned against the church, to go and speak with them, to go and confront and say, you know, this is going on, let's move, what's going on in your life? And you've sinned and you hurt me in this way. And then if it doesn't work then it's bringing in someone else. And if it doesn't work then, it's bringing it before the church. Jesus gives us instructions as to how we might reconcile. And Peter, in his wisdom, he says, all right, we're supposed to forgive. And he's like being really generous. And he says, and you guys, I'm sure have heard it before, Peter in verse 21, he came and he said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. How many people have their ledger of how many times you've forgiven someone, and you're at like number 25, and you're thinking, okay, we have 52 more sins to go before I'm writing them off. You know, obviously, Jesus' intention was not to have a ledger of how many times we're to forgive one another. Jesus is sort of wiping that slate clean and saying, we are going to be a people. And the church is going to be a people that is rooted and established in forgiveness and love for one another and a type of patience that's required. To say we're no longer going to hold sins against one another, but that we would pursue reconciliation and love for each other. We're not going to be perfect. Like Jesus, he lays it out there, like there's going to be people who sin against you. We have a group of 100 people in a room together. I bet we're all going to agree on everything, right? That there's never going to be a problem. It's like Jesus, he gets it. He's dealt with people. He spent plenty of time with them to know that there's going to be problems. There's going to be things that are said, there's going to be things that are done, and Jesus, he's prepared for it. We're not going to be a community of perfect people pursuing perfection. We're going to be a people who are rooted and established and forgiving, working through our problems. Who's excited that the preacher's talking about forgiveness this morning? I mean, really, right? You know, it's like, woohoo, I'm so glad that we get to talk about this. Yeah, there's a lot of bad people in here, so we need to work on forgiveness. But I want to think about the fixed mindset. I think every Christian walking into a church this morning knows the need that they need to forgive. But I think that we have a fixed mindset and a growth mindset when it comes to forgiveness. I'm going to read a couple things, and you just think to yourself, is that me? You might have a fixed mindset about forgiveness if you ever find yourself saying, I can't forgive them for what they did. I won't forgive them. They will never forgive me for what happened. God will never forgive me. If you've ever said those words, you might have a fixed mindset on forgiveness. And I wonder if you have a fixed mindset on that regard, if a sermon about forgiveness really has any way of resonating with you and moving forward. You might say, thanks for talking about forgiveness. I'm reminded that I need to do it, but I can't. And there was this moment in this weekend seminar where the lady told me the power of the not yet. That when students have a failing grade on their paper, instead of the teacher writing F for failure, she writes the words, not yet. You haven't yet figured out and mastered this study, but we're going to work on it. We're going to get there. And she said, there's a power to the not yet, that kids do so much better in school because of it. And it's all about instilling within them a growth mindset. And so this morning, your preacher would like for you to have a growth mindset about forgiveness, if I may. And here's what a growth mindset says about forgiveness. I'm not yet ready to forgive, but I'm working on it and I'm praying about it. They aren't yet ready to forgive me, but I will pray about it and pursue reconciliation as God would have me. I think there's a monumental difference in the positions of our heart. And it's okay to say, you know, I'm not yet ready to forgive them for what they did to me. Or we might be, but at least we have the sense of that that's where we're supposed to go. And we don't just stay, this is where I'm at and this is where I will forever be. And just waiting for the next time Jordan talks about forgiveness, then maybe I will think about doing it again. But today, would today be a day that you start having a growth mindset about the problems in your life and the people that have hurt you, or the things that you've done to hurt yourself and the sin in your own life, and realize that God is willing to forgive you? The fixed mindset says that there is no way that God could ever forgive me for what I've done. But is that true of the gospel? Is that true of who Jesus Christ is, that there's no chance for you this morning? The truth is, the gospel is all about a growth mindset, that there is forgiveness for you, there is a new way forward for all of us, and I would hope that in all of my words you would hear that there's hope, there's salvation, and there's forgiveness for you this morning. Jesus, he tells a story, and it's a story I've shared with you plenty of times, and we all hopefully know it well. And that's the story of this parable of a man who was forgiven an incredible debt. And he turns around with his forgiven debt, and he chokes the life out of one of the people that owes him money. I was looking at just how vulgar of the word is. It's to seize the throat with intent to kill. The guy's bearing down on his throat, and he says, give me the money that you owe me. A man forgiven so much, yet around he turns so violently towards someone that owes him money. And the master who forgave the gigantic debt, he catches wind of it. So, man, you're locked up now, and you're going to work the rest of your life to pay me back. And Jesus' point is, how can we turn around so violently and aggressively towards the people in our lives when I've forgiven so much in your life? You know, as we were singing one of the songs, it was that we have this one dark blot that Christ forgives. And I'm thinking, man, if I really think about my life, it's not one dark blot. I feel like it's a big, gigantic, blobby blot mess that is terrible. And I think the fixed mindset sort of sets in, and maybe that resonates with you, of God can't possibly forgive me for what I said and what I did and how I treated someone. We have a room full of regrets, but we also have a room filled with God's mercy and his love, filled with his Spirit that says you can be forgiven in Christ. We don't have to come in here and think that we have to have life figured out. We have to come in here knowing that there is forgiveness for us in Christ, in who he is. And that forgiveness can go with us Monday through Saturday. That it's not just this moment, but there's forgiveness for us moving forward. And there's a grace given us in Christ. And it's out of the outpouring of the forgiveness of Christ that we have community and life together. That we can be a community of forgiven people. And so I want to read just a couple things to you, just the way I think about, wouldn't it be great to be a part of a church like this? And I wrote it down. What joy would it be for us? And what a witness it would be if the following were our experience as Christians. I've messed up, but I know my community will love me, help me, and forgive me. I'm not who God wants me to be yet. But there are people in my life who will love me, encourage me, and help me get there. I might wander, but there is a love on display in my church that can only come from the Spirit of God. And friends, the way we get there is just by treating each other the way we want to be treated. Extending the same mercy that we extend ourselves, and giving it to each other. Putting love where love is not. And so friends, I would ask, are you interested in pursuing a perfect church or a forgiven one? And if we would embody these sort of things in our life, about being a forgiving church, I wonder what God would do with that. And I wonder what healing, I wonder what help, I wonder what encouragement we could be to each other if we would be in this thing together and pursue a life of forgiveness and love and mercy. And so friends, I hope we can be that church. And I know it's not just one sermon, but I know it's something to do with a growth mindset about who we are in Christ. Do you have a fixed idea of who you are in Jesus? Always falling short, always stuck in sin? Or is there hope for you today? And will you believe that there is growth for you in Christ? That you're not all that you should be, but you're on your way to something more. You can grow in Christ. You can forgive. You can seek first God's kingdom. You can reconcile a relationship that's hurt. And I hope it starts today. Let's remember the cross. Let's remember the forgiveness we have in Christ. And let's pursue a life together in Jesus. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for a time together to celebrate Jesus and remember his sacrifice around the table, around the songs that we have sung. God, that we would remember in your scriptures of the love that Christ has for us. On this day, Lord, I'd ask that you would help us to have a growth mindset, one that would say that we aren't all that we are supposed to be, but we're on our way. And God, for each of us, there's something that needs forgiven in our own life. There's someone that we perhaps need to forgive. There's someone perhaps that we need to go to and seek forgiveness. Whatever that may be, Lord, we pray for courage and strength for your Spirit to move. We pray for the conversations, Lord, that your Spirit would be at work in each of those. God, that you would build your church on the foundation of the forgiveness of the cross in the love of Christ. God, that we would pursue a life of forgiveness, knowing that a watching world will see people who aren't perfect, but forgive and love, who welcome, who offer a place of peace and strength in a lost and hurting world. We want to shine brightly for you. Please help us to remember your forgiveness as we go and forgive others. We love you, Lord. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Will you stand?